Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black. And joining me, his resume is so long, it's unbelievable. But television, radio, business, events, author, all of that, Mr. Rennie Roker joins me. He's written this new book called Positivity, Your Key to Success. And it is a great book. Good morning to you, Rennie.
Good morning, young lady. How are you today?
I am wonderful. It's a great day. It's a great day. Look, positivity. First of all, tell us a little bit about you. I know I kind of told some of your job descriptions, but talk about you for a moment.
I was born in New York in the Bronx. I moved to St. Albans, Queens, and we lived about three blocks from Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, Illinois Jack Cat, the Ink Spots, and even James Brown had a house in that neighborhood. And let's see. I have been in television, yes. I've done about 500 various television shows, starting with Gomer Pyle. I was a recurring regular on Gomer Pyle. I was a recurring regular on Hill Street Blues. And I've done movies of the week and motion pictures. As a matter of fact, as a black producer-actor, Horace Jackson and myself produced a motion picture that became the first black motion picture to do $1 million a day for the first 30 days it was out. Mm-hmm. Now, this was back, of course, where $1 million a day was a lot of money.
Right.
And because tickets, for example, were 75 cents for kids, and I think $1.50 for adults. So that was a big thing. But
was that Deliver Us From Evil?
That was Johnny Tough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Deliver Us From Evil came after Johnny Tough movie. And it's interesting because there in Atlanta, we played the biggest theater, I think, in the country. And I'm trying to, the Fox Theater.
Ah. Okay.
We went out and gave away tickets to all the cheerleaders, football players, basketball players, baseball players, and anybody else who was in the eye of their schoolmates. And the guy that owned the theater said, well, you gave away all the seats that you're going to sell. And I said, no, we didn't. I said, just watch. Grand opening, we sold out the Fox Theater, about 3,000 seats, for four performances a day.
Wow.
And they looked at us and they said, I've never seen somebody give it away and then get them to buy it, too, at the same time. So it's all about being positive.
Yeah.
You know, and respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to add that because being respectful and positive is amazing. I tell the story, if you don't mind, about Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Love to Love You, Baby.
Yes.
Well, I was working for Casablanca Records at the time. And Donna Summer had issued a statement that she would not allow a single to be put out until somebody played the album.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the album was a 15-minute song of Love to Love
right.
You, Baby.
Yeah.
And we said, well, nobody's going to play a 15-minute song. And one of the guys in my team said, you know what? I've got a guy, an all-night guy in Cleveland, who loves the album, wants to play it because he's on from midnight to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, if I could only play it, I know the program director and the head man would like it. And one of the guys, he said also that his mother had been making brownies to take to this guy. So one of the guys on the phone said, X-Lax.
Oh, Lord.
And everybody said, X-Lax. What? We're talking about getting a record on the air. Yeah, put X-Lax in the brownie. That's a true story.
That is awful.
So he went home, asked his mother to make some brownies for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then asked his mother if she would go get something, and he took the bottle of X-Lax and poured most of it into the batter and then mixed it around so it couldn't be seen.
Oh, my gosh.
So he took it to the station. When he got there, the album was right on top of the counter, so he said, oh, he was going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, did you bring me some of those brownies? He said, well, I don't think they're the best tasting ones. Because he thought he was going to play the record. Oh, yeah, and the record, I got to give it back to you because they're not going to let me play it. So he said, well, here's the brownies. Go ahead and take them.
Oh, my gosh.
About 10 minutes later, he told the kid, he said, I'm putting the album on. I have a funny feeling we might have to play it tonight. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but there's nobody else here but you. So when I say do it, just put the needle on. When this record ends, I have to make a run.
Because his stomach was going bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah,
bloop, bloop,
halfway
bloop.
Before he even got to where he had to go, he yelled out, put the record on! You know, so they did. They put it on. And the phones lit up. Everybody talked about how much they loved the record and blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, we had
a
hit record.
Yeah.
With Donna Summer, Love to Love You, Baby.
Absolutely. That's a great story. It's a story.
You know what? All the stories in the book are true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did it that way because you could always talk about something happening. You know, there in Atlanta, I went to Atlanta from Los Angeles 50 times to get Coca-Cola to be a sponsor.
50. Yes.
Of my P-Funk tour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because they kept telling me no in every kind of way they could. And I decided I'm gonna keep going until somebody says yes. 42 trips from Los Angeles to Atlanta. And on the 42nd trip, they said yes. And they brought in 7 other corporate sponsors to support it, to make sure it was going to be a success.
And they supported you throughout.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They never stopped.
I can't say anything but good about them and the things that they've done and what I've seen them do in communities around the country mm-hmm. that a lot of people aren't even aware of, including building homes, churches, playgrounds, and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Rennie, talk about your early start, because you talk about when you guys moved to the Virgin Islands.
Yes.
And
I was a disc jockey.
Yeah. And
but 14.
Your positivity was paying off even at that time.
You know, it was funny because I went to school in the Virgin Islands, and they had a teenage radio contest to have a weekend show. And there used to be a disc jockey in New York called Dr. Jive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took his name. I'm hoping he didn't feel bad about it. But I took his name, and I called myself Rennie Dr. Jive Roker, and I won the contest. And I was on every Saturday for 2 or 3 hours. But after that, they said, well, how would you like to do after school? And I said, sure. So then I was on 5 days a week, actually 6 days a week. And it became a part of me. And it was at that point I decided at some point in my life, I'm going to go back to New York. I'm going to do off-Broadway plays. I'm going to get in the music business. Mm-hmm. My brother was already in the music business. And I was going to make that my life. And that's exactly what happened. I went to college in Puerto Rico. I co-starred in a TV series called Casaria,
mm-hmm.
and from there went to New York. I was bussing tables at a luncheonette in New York with a college degree, and 3 weeks later, my brother said, how'd you like to go to work for Nat King Cole? And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. And it was all about, even while I was bussing tables at the luncheonette, the owner said, one day we'll put you behind the counter so that you can do work behind the counter. And I said, no, I'm going into the city. I'm going to be in the music business. And next thing you know, I was working for Nat King Cole and promoting Ramblin' Rose.
Yeah, you said, every time you said what you were going to do, you were positive, you had confidence. But I want you to tell the story about surviving the storm. Were you going to have that 3-on-3 basketball series?
Oh, my God.
And the storm came through the Virgin Islands.
You know, I had already produced a triathlon in the Virgin Islands
mm-hmm.
4 years in a row for NBC. And now we were going to really do something big. We were going to bring the Harlem Globetrotters down,
right.
Build a basketball court on the beach, have palm trees holding the backboard,
mm-hmm.
and at halftime, we were going to have a Moco Jumbie. That's the guys on stilts.
Right.
come in and challenge the Globetrotters. We got our sponsors to agree to let any family with a child get in for free. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. We were all set to go, and Hurricane Hugo came through and took down every tree there was, or took all the leaves off of every tree. It was barren. It was bare.
People's houses were gone. It was amazing.
87% of all the houses in St. Croix, where I lived, were either destroyed or might as well be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And my son and I were living in my house, which was leaning. There was no running water, so we had to take a garden thing and, mm-hmm. and put it in the water and then spray each other to soap up and rinse off.
Wow.
It was crazy. But you know, it was amazing because from that, we ended up moving the Harlem Globetrotters to the Bahamas.
Right, to the next island.
And we did the event
in
the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And right after that, I got a call from Coke saying, I know you have a 3-on-3 basketball series that you are going to do in conjunction with the Globetrotters. Why don't we just do the 3-on-3 basketball series separately by itself? And if you're serious about going into 50-some-odd markets and doing it, we'll back you. Mm. And I said, oh, fantastic. I had very little phone power where I was mm-hmm. in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But I had friends. And, you know, I think one of the greatest parts of positivity and being positive is that you gather friendships all around you. Because I've never seen anybody yet that doesn't like a smile.
That's right.
You know, whether the smile comes from within or it's just a pleasant look on your face, it's a lot better than a scowl and foul language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we did Coop to Hoop is what it was called. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was our manager for the series. And it was a success. It was the first 3-on-3 basketball series on television before Hoop It Up. And the other one, I can't remember the name of it now, came out. So it in most people's mind, they think, not possible, not possible. But the things that have happened to me in my life by being positive has made the whole life that I've had, which is quite a few years, unbelievable. And I am feeling so good. And you know what? I've met people like you, you know, who make sure that there's positive coming out of you and others who you associate with. And it's like a vitamin. It's like a life vitamin mm-hmm. when you're positive.
Mm-hmm. You always talk about how important people are. And you have this chapter that talks about BMX and some of the other things that were going on. But people are important, and it's a mindset to be positive. When somebody asks you how you are, you know, I know biblically you speak those things as though they were and are as though they were. And, you know, a lot of times you could be really having a hard time, but you got to stay positive.
You know, one of the stories, and I don't want to give away the whole book, but one of the stories is called From Poop to President.
Oh, I love that story. That was a good one, yeah.
You know, it's a true story. Right there in Atlanta, I was doing motivational speaking for the tourism board. And they'd have various companies come in, and they'd bring the whole staff.
Yeah.
And this one guy came, and I asked everybody to give their name, what they do, and like that, and he... when it was his turn, he got up and started walking out. And I said, hey, where are you going? He said, you know, you've got all the important people in the company here. I don't know why I'm here. And I said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm the janitor. And I said, well, that makes you the second most important person in the company. And everybody laughed, which didn't make him feel good either.
Right.
And he said, you know, I don't want to be made into a joke. I said, no, let me tell you something. If someone comes in from outside to do business with the company and they walk into the bathroom and it's filthy, or there's no soap or no paper towels or towels or toilet paper, I said, they're going to walk out. They're not going to feel good about the place. They may stay for the meeting, but their attitude towards the place says, uh-uh. And he said, well, okay, and he gave us his name, and he sat down. And he called me the next day, and he said, Mr. Roker, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I've been doing things for the company, but they're not aware of it, mm-hmm. putting down little notes for the president. And off of that, they have made an additional $300 million or some crazy number.
Wow, yeah.
And I said, well, why didn't you put your name on it? He said, well, I just left a note on the president's desk because I knew I could do that because when I clean up at night, nobody's there. And I said, well, does he know who did it? He said, no. I said, tomorrow, put on a suit, call his secretary, and make an appointment. She'll tell you he's busy. But what you'll do is you'll tell her that the man that left you the notes would like to meet with you.
Mm-hmm.
So he made the call, left the message. It was interesting because what happened next was he went in to meet with the president. And when he met with him, the president said to him after a while, how'd you like to come work for me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I'd love that. He said, okay, $200,000. And he almost died.
I love that part.
It was like $200,000 was a number that didn't even exist in his, in his mind.
Right.
So the look on his face to the president was saying, that's not enough money.
Right.
So he told him, $300,000, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a penny more.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy almost cried.
Yes.
He
and
said
his office was right next to the president.
And his office was next door to the president.
Yeah.
Positivity works for all of us if mm-hmm. we just, you know, it's easy to say, but to do is a different subject.
It really is. It really is. Rennick, tell everybody how they can learn more about you, because we've got like a million stories in this book. We can't tell them all. We're running out of time.
Order the book. They can go to Amazon, or they can call me mm-hmm. And order. But it's easier to go through Amazon. That way, I'll make sure that you'll make sure you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be fun.
All right. The name of the book is Positivity, Your Key to Success. Rennick tells so many great stories here, and all of them are not, you know, wonderful la-di-da stories. There are a lot of hardships in this book. And Rennick, are you coming to Atlanta to sign anytime soon?
Yes, I am. You just tell me when, and I will be there.
All right.
And I'm serious because I love Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I think Atlanta is one of the greatest cities around.
It is.
So just give me a date. It only takes about 9 hours to drive there, I think, or 7 hours. I'll get in the car and I will be right there.
All right. And
okay.
The website is RennickRoker.com. You can go to Amazon.com to order the book, Positivity, Your Key to Success. Rennick Roker is the author. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.